It's time. It's time to open your eyes. It's time to open your mind. It's time to grow up and face reality. It's time to lock and load because it's Meat Trapper time. And welcome to another edition of Meat Trapper Radio. Now, this week's episode is going to be a little bit different in that it's going to be a follow-up to Clint's rant number one, Trapper's rant number one that he just published. That, if you haven't listened to that, you really owe it to yourself to go back and listen to it. The gist of the episode really was that Jesse had sent Clint a question about hourly workers and commuting workers, commuters, and if he thought it was a conspiracy to sort of keep people in that mindset and in that method of earning a living, so to speak. And Clint talked about the fact that he didn't think it was an organized conspiracy, but it was definitely a pattern, if you will. And it was one of those things that hit home so closely with me because I'm one of those people that I found myself just coming up out of my chair repeatedly, you know, with so much to say on every point. And so I just wanted to kind of add my two cents, if you will. Now, to set the stage a little bit, I'm an IT guy. I'm an IT worker, and I'm an independent consultant, and I've been working for a large financial institution for the last 3 years. And so the office complex that I go to every morning, about 2,500 professional people work there every day. That's a lot of people. So this building has everything you can imagine. It has emergency backup generators. You know, it has a cafeteria that, you know, that has multiple restaurants in the cafeteria and all of that sort of thing. You know, typical big-time corporate stuff. And so what I would like to do is sort of share what my daily routine is like as a commuting worker. And I want to detail the cost associated with that and compare and contrast it to what it would be like if I didn't have to do that. Because come next year, I won't have to do that anymore. But I think there's a lot of stuff built into this that most people never consider. So the first thing is when I wake up in the morning on a work day, I have to shower and get dressed. I mean, you can't go into a corporate office building wearing overalls. You have to dress to a certain dress code. Right there, that's a big cost. I have to have a certain type of clothing, certain type of shoes. They have to be maintained to an acceptable degree, which means I have dry cleaning expenses or I have laundry expenses plus time here at home. So I haven't even left the house yet, and I've spent money. After tax money. I don't get to write off my dry cleaners to go to work. Think about that. So then I need some breakfast. Now I have two choices. I can either eat breakfast at home, fix it myself, and have a fairly healthy breakfast at a fairly cheap cost. Or I can go and I can have breakfast at the office. Breakfast at the office is going to be expensive and not very healthy, but it's quick and it's easy. If I have breakfast at home, I have to pay with time. I have to take the time to prepare my breakfast and then clean up the dishes or what have you. So let's say I've eaten at home and now I get in my truck and I go to work. it's going to take me 30 to 45 minutes through traffic to get to work. Once again, I'm spending money. I've got wear and tear on my vehicle, wear and tear on my tires. I've got the gasoline expense. I don't get to write any of that off. That's just out of my pocket. I run the risk of getting run into, which in a big city happens on a fairly regular basis, and the people that hit you don't always have insurance. Another expense. And I haven't even made it to work yet. So once I am in my truck driving, the first thing that I notice is that I'm sitting down. Now, sitting is one of the most unhealthy activities a human being can do. And I've got to sit in order to get to work. So I have to be stationary and I have to harm my health to get to work. So now I've arrived at work. I enter the building. I go sit in front of my computer. And being an IT guy, the first thing I'm going to do in the morning is check all of my emails to see what has broken overnight, what needs fixing, what needs worked on, what's come up. I get 100 to 150 emails a day. Now, the funny thing is I can check emails from my house. I don't have to drive to an office to check email. So the first work activity that I have, I don't even have to be there to do it. So usually the next work item that I have is a morning meeting where the people on my team are going to get together and we're going to talk about what we got done yesterday, what needs to be done today, who's going to do what, sort of get our plan of action together. Now here's the really funny part. The people in this meeting sometimes dial in to a conference line. So they don't have to actually be in the room or at my desk. Many times they're on the second or third floor of the same building that I'm in, but because they have other things going on, they just choose to dial in rather than leave their office and walk down. So here we have people in the same building that have all driven to the same building so they can pick up a telephone and call into a meeting. You could do this from home. So now that we have our plan of action of what we're going to accomplish for the day, it's time to actually start doing computer stuff and writing computer code and doing some programming. Once again, I have computers at home. I don't have to drive to an office to type stuff into a computer. Are you starting to see a recurring pattern here? Once I have my computer code written, if I need to run it against a server or if I need to deploy it to a server, I connect to that server from my desk, from my desktop computer. I could do that from anywhere in the world. I could do it from home. I could do it from Singapore, Germany, doesn't matter. So I've now performed the bulk of my duties, and not a single thing that I've had to do has really required me to drive to an office to do it. So now it's lunchtime. Now I have two choices. I can either bring my lunch, which once again, I pay with time. Okay? Or I pay with money to go up to the cafeteria and eat an unhealthy lunch. Or I get in my truck and I drive somewhere and put more miles, burn more gas, require more maintenance to pay somebody else to fix me a sandwich so that I can then drive back to the office. And all of that driving cuts into the time that I have to actually eat. It's crazy when you think about it. It's crazy. So then I repeat the whole process in the afternoon of typing stuff into a computer and connecting to other computers and doing stuff electronically. And then I realize at the end of the day that I've spent 10, 11 hours sitting. The most unhealthy activity you can do. So I sat on my way to work. I sat while at work. And now guess what time it is? It's time for me to sit to go home. So I put more miles on my truck, burn more gas, run the risk of getting run into, and I do more unhealthy sitting until I get home. So now, since I've spent all day being unhealthy and spending money to and from work, I need to actually do some exercise. A little bit, at least. So I can either go outside and do some exercise, or I can go to a gym and do some exercise. And once again, I've taken time away from my family, away from my wife. I've put more wear and tear on my vehicle. I've spent money to join a gym or go to a gym. And then I drive back to my house. More fuel, more wear and tear on the vehicle. And now it's actually time to eat supper. So I get to eat a meal. And then maybe, if I'm lucky, I can spend an hour and a half with my wife and my son before it's time to lay down on my back, go to sleep, and do the whole thing over again. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And the central themes are unhealthy, spend money, and give up time. Those are the central themes of the day-to-day existence of a commuter. Now, let's take all of that away. Let's let me work from my home. The first thing that happens is I don't have the laundry expense and the clothing expense. So right off the bat, I save money just by waking up, I've saved money. The next thing is I get to eat a healthy breakfast. And I don't have to worry about the time that it takes because I'm not commuting to an office anymore. I'm at my home. Now, when it comes to work, I can accomplish every single work activity just as well from my home as I can sitting down at the fancy corporate office. I can dial into the conference calls. I can read my email. I can write my computer code. I can connect to servers. I can deploy my code. I can do all of that just fine. And then when it's lunchtime, I can walk into my kitchen and have a good, healthy lunch and save money. And I'm not burning the gas going to and from a restaurant or eating unhealthy food. Now, since I'm at my home, I can design my office like I want. I can have a stand-up desk if I want. I don't have somebody designing a cubicle for me, mandating that I sit in a chair. And what type of chair that I sit in. I can have a stand-up desk, so I'm not sitting all day. So I didn't engage in that unhealthy sitting on my commute, and I didn't spend my entire work day in an unhealthy sitting position at all. So all of a sudden, my health has improved. Think about the expense on my vehicle. My fuel expense, zero. Wear and tear on the vehicle, zero. Chances of being run into by an uninsured illegal driver, zero. I'm saving money. I've saved a lot of money. And more importantly, I've saved a lot of time. A lot of time, a lot of stress, and a lot of aggravation. So who has lost? Well, let's see. The oil companies have lost because I didn't buy as much gasoline. The tire companies, the mechanics, they've lost because I didn't put wear and tear on my vehicle. My insurance is not going to go up because I'm not getting run into or rear-ended by uninsured drivers. Look at all the restaurants. They're not selling me sandwiches because I'm making my own, my way. Look at the clothiers, the retailers. I'm not having to buy expensive, fancy shoes and belts. Since I'm working from my home office, I can put on a pair of jeans and a t-shirt. You see, by negating the commute, the only person that wins is me. Everyone else loses, including all of your useless middle managers in these corporations who make a living off of watching what other people do because they don't actually do things themselves. Interesting, isn't it? So now you see why nobody wants you to be employed on your own. Nobody wants you to work your own way from your own home. They don't benefit if you benefit. They only benefit if you lose. Therefore, it's in everybody else's interest that you lose. So the end result, really, is that society stacks functions on us. If you look at my commute to work example, function after function after function after function has been stacked on the back of the commuter, of the worker. And the problem is the stack has gotten so big and so tall and so heavy that we can't carry the load anymore, and people are breaking down. You see it all across the board. Whether it's somebody just snapping, or in cases like mine where people have just said, enough is enough, I'm not going to play this little game anymore. You can play it without me. You know, another example is I had to recently redo my health insurance for the coming year. My family's health insurance is going to cost me $6,000 this year. And that's just right out of my pocket. After that, I have to meet the deductibles before it actually kicks in and starts to pay anything. And then once it does actually kick in and start to pay anything, there's always gotchas and exceptions. For instance, my wife suffers from migraine headaches. She gets 4 tablets a month, period. So if you're lucky and one tablet cures one headache, you get 4 headaches a month. But sometimes a real whopper comes along and it takes her 2 or even 3 tablets. After that, you're just out of luck. You're paying full price even though you just paid $6,000 for health insurance. My son requires medication on a monthly basis. It pays 0 of that. Nothing. So I pay for that out of my pocket, in addition to the insurance. But you know, if you're an illegal and you came across the border from Mexico and you want to have a couple of kids, well, that's all free. After all, they stacked that function on my back as well. And you know, that's what this election was all about. People are pissed off. They're tired of it. They're fed up, and they're not going to put up with it anymore. They're done. They're walking away from it. Now, I just spent the weekend up in an undisclosed location where a very good friend of mine who lived here in Birmingham for many years, he and his wife, they finally said to heck with it, and they bought a very nice place out in the country, beautiful place, and I was up visiting him. And I see this over and over again where the productive, producing people are leaving. And what it's going to do is it's hollowing out the cities. It's a hollowing out of the tax base, because when people that make good money and that keep the lights on and keep the electricity flowing, keep the water flowing, that keep the internet working, when those people leave and they take their taxes with them, it leaves a void. And you see all of the government workers, all of the cops and all the firefighters, they are all expecting their $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year pensions so that they can work 20 years and then retire and live large. Guess what? They got another thing coming. Look at what's happening in Dallas right now. They've shut it down. They've turned it off. Pensions, it's gone. It's broke. They turned the withdrawals off. And it's because of the exact phenomenon that I'm describing. And that's because people have said to heck with it and they've left. So in my opinion, it is a scam. It is a scam. And my only regret is that it has taken me so long to not only figure it out, but then to actually work and accomplish to the point that I can get out of the rat race. And I can assure you I am looking forward to that very much. So what does this all have to do with trapping? Well, it comes back to the same central theme that I stress all the time, and that is self-sufficiency, providing for yourself. And it's what Clint talks about constantly, and that's providing your own income stream yourself. Because I can promise you, when I no longer have to drive into the office, I no longer have to make nearly as much money. The quality of my life will increase exponentially. I will be healthier, happier, more stress-free. I will have more time to spend with my family. I win all the way around. But I can promise you, it wasn't easy to do. It wasn't easy to get there. So anyway, I know this has been kind of an unusual episode, but it's something that once Clint started talking, it just started welling up in me, because I deal with this every single day. It's insanity, absolute insanity. And when I get on those highways, and pull out on the main road, the first thing that I do is stop, because I'm in a line of cars as far as you can see, because everybody is going to the same place, the same side of town at the same time. And they have to be there by the same time. And then at the end of the workday, the whole thing flip-flops, and everybody is trying to get from that side of town back over to the good side of town. And so they're stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic again, as far as you can see. And people are pissed off, and they're high-strung, and they're stressed out, because they've got so many things to do and so little time to do to do it in. They've got to get to the grocery store. They've got to get to the dry cleaners. They've got to get to this. They've got to get to that. And it's a sea of cars as far as you can see. So anyway, that's my take on the situation. And so while, you know, I may not call it an organized conspiracy, it's definitely a system, and it's a system that is designed to profit at your expense. It's a system designed to grind you down, and the system has no desire to see you escape. You're going to have to fight it every step of the way. And all I can say is it's worth it, because I can see light at the end of the tunnel for me, and that's really what keeps me going. So I hope this was thought-provoking, and next week we'll get back onto a more traditional topic and get back into trapping, because it is trapping season. I've been out in the rain all day setting beaver traps, and I wouldn't have it any other way, because, you know, when it's cold and it's rainy and the weather is rotten and miserable, that just keeps the riffraff out, and you have the places to yourself. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Appalachia.